The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com. To the Eric Metaxas Show with your host, Eric Metaxas.
Hey there, folks. You know this is the Eric Metaxas Show, but what you don't know is that I have guests on the show and they write books. I'm going to be speaking for the hour to Lucas Miles. He's a pastor in Indiana. His book is called The Christian Left, How Liberal Thought Has Hijacked the Church. Lucas Miles, welcome.
Eric, good to be on the program.
I have to say, you know, the title of your book kind of says it all. How has this happened? That's what your book's about. It is horrifying to most of us who have been paying any attention to this. So what do you say in the book? What's your explanation for the horror that we're witnessing in so many churches?
Look, I mean, the New York Times said it best. They said there's an ascendant liberal Christianity, which to them was, I think, in the article, a good thing. But for anybody who understands biblical orthodoxy, you know, we should be worried. And, you know, ultimately, as believers, we know that God wins in the end. But what we are seeing is this growing constituency of left-leaning Christians and so-called Christians, in many cases, who've embraced progressive ideology, liberal thought, and in many cases, Marxist theory. And it's, you know, 10, 20 years ago, it was confined in the academic setting. It was in the classroom, but it went from the professors to the pastors, and now it's in our pews. And I think it's time for the church to wake up.
What surprises me is how there ought to be tripwires, right? Like, you know, it's one thing to be drifting along, but at some point, boom, you realize, whoa, we can't go there. It seems that people in churches, they really don't have the kind of firm grasp of theology that you would expect, and that they're able to have their thinking twisted by things like critical race theory. I mean, help us understand, how is it possible that a pastor could get sucked into things that are effectively Marxist? When you're talking about critical race theory, when we're talking about, you know, white supremacy, these very ideas, you know, they might sound good, but there should be a tripwire where somebody says, wait a minute. Yes, I agree with this, and then all these things. I agree, but we can't go here. This is fundamentally antithetical to our most basic beliefs that, you know, we're all created equal and that you can't say this group is oppressing this group. And, you know, it becomes something else. Why are they not getting tripped up, as I say, on, you know, at the borders of these what we would think of as theological red lines? Why do you think that's happening?
Yeah, these theological bumper lanes, you know, that we need in many cases.
Yeah.
You know, so first of all, let's define orthodoxy. You know, in my book, I define orthodoxy essentially as basically the ability for the church to be able to sort of float around. And I give the analogy like a buoy in the ocean that's attached to the bedrock. We have the ability to kind of float around a little bit in this sort of concentric circle around our understanding of the Word of God. The problem is when you get detached from that bedrock, which is the Word, this inerrancy, this authoritative work that we call the Bible, and you start drifting out into these divergent dark waters of progressivism, or, you know, you go another direction of fundamentalism and pharisaicalism and these things. And so what has, I think, happened in many cases is the left has realized that they can't win elections without dividing the church. And so 20 years ago, the left seemed to be very, you know, content to be referred to as the godless party, removing God from their party platform, all of these things. And now I think they've wisened up and they've realized that they need to divide the Christian vote, especially here in America, in order to get their agenda across. And so in order to do that, they've kind of led this full-out onslaught. I call it a Trojan horse. They've inserted this Trojan horse in many cases of social justice. And we see that with liberation theology from South America. We see it with Black liberation theology here in the United States. And on paper, it sounds so spiritual. But it has actually changed the focus from, you know, Jesus Christ as savior of the world to Jesus Christ, the great social organizer. And I think that the lack of discipleship, to kind of get to your specific question there, the lack of discipleship that took place over the last 20 or 30 years in the mega churches in this nation. And I'm not a, you know, I'm not trying to dog the mega churches as a whole, but we had Christianity light. I call it the genetically engineered church. They built a church without any seed in it. That is the word. They extracted all that. So it was easier to consume. It was quicker to get somebody saved. But what happened is there was no discipleship and they weren't able to replicate into the next generation.
Wow, that's a brilliant analysis, because you do wonder what happened. You know, when did we begin to slide this way? I mean, look, we see this in all kinds of denominations. Obviously, you know, you were talking about liberation theology. You know, that happened in the Catholic Church, and yeah. And the church is big, and you know, these things can happen. And the question is, when we're dealing with the so-called evangelical church, there was a time when we understood all of the basics. We understood that we don't cross this line. We don't cross this line. I am, you know, horrified to see it happening. And even a lot of evangelical colleges are going woke. How is it, for example, that they don't understand that any affiliation with Black Lives Matter, that is a Marxist organization. All of their fundamental ideas are antithetical to the church, to the family. Is it white guilt? Is it just laziness? I really don't understand how they lack the courage to stand against something that's, you know, naked Marxism.
I think it's, you know, in many cases, it's all the above. You know, we've seen issues in the, you know, SBC, we've seen issues, you know, at colleges like Biola and others. And look, I have friends at a lot of these places. This is what makes this difficult to talk about. But it needs to be addressed. It needs to be said. And, you know, you and I both know, we know a lot of people in the, you know, kind of the greater Christian, industry, for lack of a better term, that's not the right, you know, way to describe it. But in Christian media and Christian influencers around this country, and many of them are being impacted by this. We've put musicians on stage. We've made them sort of, this oracle of Christian doctrine, when in many cases they've never been discipled themselves. And we've seen, you know, so many of them, go through this post-conversion experience. And we have, you know, so-called Christian journalists like Jonathan Merritt, who are really, you know, celebrating the deconversion, you know, of evangelicals, you know, almost every single week in his newsletter. And it becomes very concerning when we allow individuals who have clearly departed from Christian orthodoxy to continue to stay in their positions. And, you know, whether that be, you know, agnostics and atheists that are running some of our Christian media companies, or, you know, executives or professors that, you know, have gone through such a biblical criticism, journey that they no longer even believe that Jesus was, you know, the Son of God. And I believe that this is not about becoming a fundamentalist. I'm actually known in most circles as a grace guy. But I think that we have to really address, what does it mean to be Christian? Because many of the things that are being espoused today in the name of Christianity really have no elements left in them that actually decidedly make them Christian.
Let's get specific. And I don't have a problem with naming names if we're talking about public figures. Who are some of the figures that are in leadership that have kind of opened the door to these things? Maybe they're not even for it, but they've opened the door.
Yeah. You know, I mean, look, there's a spectrum for sure. And so, you know, we have people that are all out, you know, blatant Marxists, and we have people that are just sort of flirting, you know, who have kind of, you know, drifted from the emergent church, which was really known for asking questions, into sort of this early stages of the Christian left, you know, starting to really affirm some of these things. You know, Christian writers like Matthew Paul Turner, you know, I talk about in the book. You know, divorced his wife, came out as a homosexual, you know, did not lose his Christian publishing deal, did not lose his Christian platform. If anything, he's gained more of that. And we've had people coming out, you know, in support of him, you know, in this decision he made, to this brave thing that he did by divorcing his wife and admitting that he was gay.
Let me just ask you, because again, we have to be, there are people listening to this program that are not Christians. So I want to be clear, right? Christians, we're commanded to love everyone.
Absolutely.
Even in their brokenness, we love them. But you don't say to somebody who says, you know what, my marriage is tough, and here's all the stuff that's wrong with my wife, and I long to have a more fulfilling relationship, and so I've been seeing this other woman. It would be our obligation to say, listen, I feel your pain. Marriage can be tough, but you can never do what you're talking about. That God will never honor that. That is called sin. That is called leaning into adultery. When we come back, I want to unpack this because we've got to be super clear. Folks, I'm talking to Lucas Miles about the Christian left. Ouch, don't go away.
Hey there, folks. How many years have I been telling you about Relief Factor? What, like four? The truth is, I know there are millions of people, in fact, some say over 100 million people struggling with some kind of pain, maybe from exercise, just getting older. That could do it, getting older, which is why I am so impressed with Pete and Seth Talbot. They are on a mission. You rarely see this kind of focus and commitment. Seriously, they recently shared with me that they are doubling down and want to literally double their total number of happy customers in the next year. And I believe they'll do it. So here's the deal. If you're struggling with back, neck, shoulder, hip or knee pain, even general muscle aches and pains, then I'm suggesting you order their 3-week quick start, still discounted to only $19.95, about a dollar a day to see if we can get you out of pain too. And then after that, less than the cost of a cup of coffee a day to stay out of pain. Go to relieffactor.com, relieffactor.com, or call 800-500-8384, relieffactor.com, 800-500-8384. I use it. It works. Check it out.
Hey folks, Eric Metaxas here. Like you, I am sick of hearing about big tech companies spying on their customers, selling their data, and not being able to keep their platforms safe and secure. Luckily, I found SquadPod, a private platform that helps businesses, organizations, churches, and nonprofits take back control of their communication. SquadPod has three things going for it that other companies do not. First, SquadPod puts you in control of who is a part of your team, what they see, and how they interact with the group. Second, SquadPod is 100% owned and operated in the United States. Third, SquadPod is simple to use. Just create an account, invite your team, and start communicating via their secure video and messaging features. Learn more at squadpod.com/Eric. That's squadpod.com/Eric. Let me say it again, squadpod.com/Eric. Check it out. Hey there, folks. I'm talking to Lucas Miles. The book is The Christian Left, How Liberal Thought Has Hijacked the Church. Lucas, I just want to finish the point that, you know, you were talking about this person, Paul, say it again.
Matthew Paul Turner was one of the ones
Matthew
I mentioned.
Paul
yeah.
Turner, right. And you were talking about how he divorced his wife and comes out as gay and stuff. And I think that, again, we have to talk about what do Christians teach, right? We say that God doesn't make you gay any more than he makes you an adulterer. We all have temptations. We are all broken. We're all messed up. And life is hard. But if I want to bless somebody, I'm not going to tell them, hey, whatever you feel, go for it, right? So if somebody says to me, I'm married, but I don't feel comfortable, I've got these things, I would say, hey, according to the Bible, God says he wants to heal your marriage. He wants to bless you and bless your spouse. And leaving, divorcing is not his will for you. And then the second step, if somebody says, I'm coming out as gay, I don't even know what that means. In other words, in the church, we say that we're all messed up. We're all broken. But yeah, the church cannot affirm you in your same-sex desires any more than the church can affirm you in your desires for someone who's not your wife, or to a woman for someone who's not your husband. I understand that you may feel that way, but the church doesn't want to honor that and affirm that because we believe it will hurt you. But you're telling me that Matthew Paul Turner, is that his name?
Yeah.
That he has come out along these lines, and you're saying he hasn't lost his Christian publishing deal. In other words, who are these entities? I'm just fascinated.
Yeah.
What does that mean? That there's a Christian publishing house that says we want to continue to give him a voice? Who's the publisher?
So the publisher in his case, I believe that is an arm of Penguin Random House. It's a secular subsidiary or secular parent, and then this Christian subsidiary. I believe Jonathan Merritt's also published with them. You know, we have some of the emergent guys that are there as well. But that is definitely sort of a home for a lot of these, what I would call Christian left books. And certainly this isn't about, you know, one person. And, you know, to kind of follow up your point there. I have no expectations for anybody who is not a Christian to have any sort of, to live by the same merits or markers that we would strive to as believers. And in fact, even as Christians, the tenet of Christianity is original sin. You know, one of the tenets of Christianity is original sin. So we believe that we are fallen people in need of a savior. That is a pivotal aspect to the Christian faith. What we are seeing among the Christian left is that belief is one of the many beliefs that's been eroded from biblical orthodoxy. You will never hear, you know, a politician like Mayor Pete Buttigieg, who, you know, is from South Bend, Indiana, where I'm at. You'll never hear him speak about, he's a great poster child for the Christian left. You'll never hear him talk about, when he talks about his faith, things like forgiveness of sins, repentance, heaven and hell, the born again experience. You won't hear these things. You will hear Jesus as the great social organizer. You will hear Jesus who cares for the poor and takes care of the sick. It gets into sort of this critical race theory, these Marxist concepts. And it's really sort of this sleight of hand to where they're using the terminology of the church. You know, we had Michelle Obama, I think it was at the Grammys a couple years back. You know, I don't remember if it was Madonna or who got done performing, you know, whatever it was, their song. And she's saying, amen, I feel like we went to church today, you know. And they're hijacking the language of the church in order to give sort of this appearance of elitist spirituality. But really what is behind that is bankrupt morals. And you know, really the erosion of what it means to be a believer. And so
I think that's, for me, that's the issue. In other words, it's the confusion.
Yes.
Anybody like Jonathan Merritt or Matthew Paul Turner, this is a free country.
Yes.
And if they want to say what they want to say, that's on them, right?
Yes.
But the idea that they would be published by someone who has some kind of a Christian, label, it would be confusing to the faithful. And that's to me the issue. In other words, I think that we have to say clearly, this is what the church teaches. And some of it is hard. I mean, it's hard. I have great compassion for somebody struggling with same-sex desires. I mean, I think, wow, that must be a horrible cross to bear. But I cannot tell that person, hey, listen, I feel for you. Go for it. You know, life comes around once. Enjoy it. Do what you can. You deserve You can't say that any more than you say to somebody who's in a difficult marriage, listen, I feel for you. If you stray, you know, listen, I get it. We're all fallen. I feel that if I were to drift in that direction, I would want a brother or sister in Christ to say, Eric, do you understand what you're doing, what you're flirting with? For God's sake, don't do that. That is going to harm you. It's going to harm your family. It's going to harm. In other words, that's what we expect the church to do. And what you're telling me is the left is opening a door so that people struggling with this kind of stuff, rather than getting truth, they're getting good feelings and they're being let down the primers.
And I think that's a great segue into, you know, one of the tenets of, I think, the Christian left is a misunderstanding of love. You know, the Bible teaches that Jesus came in grace and truth. But the definition of love on the left is essentially that if you do not agree with me, you do not love me. And as an American, as a citizen in this country, I would die for the right for people to have different, you know, divergent views than I have. I would die for the right to them, for them to be able to live the lifestyle that they want to live, assuming that it's, you know, within the bounds of the law. But as we cannot just call anything that we want Christian. So there's a difference there. So as a pastor, as a citizen, I share with you, I have great compassion. Many times people on the left, they've become so frustrated with some of the issues on the right. They're very, you know, empathetic people. They're compassionate people. And this just looks more loving in many cases to just let people live. And it's a misunderstanding of love. They're only looking at this grace aspect. And that's not even probably the best definition for it. This agreement. And they're missing truth. You know, if you were in a burning building, I would have no problem running over to you and saying, Eric, you're in a burning building. We got to get you out of there.
Yeah.
And because I care about you and I want to see you well. And you can do that in love. And I just think that this maybe in many cases has not been modeled well enough for people to realize that you can speak truth in love and do it out of a compassion for somebody rather than judgment.
It's so important. Lucas, I want to get a little bit of your story for folks who don't know you. We know you as the author of this book now, The Christian Left. But what is your story? Where did you grow up and how did you come to be who you are?
Yeah, so I'm actually in South Bend, from South Bend, Indiana. Spent a couple of years in Ohio. Started pastoring at 17 years old. I mean, I kind of just grew up in this. Started preaching very young, planted a church at 21 that I still pastor now at 40, or no, excuse me, I planted at 24 that I still pastor now at 42. And so I'll let the audience do the math on how long that's been, but I've been at the same church that entire time, been married for it'd be 20 years this May.
Wow.
My wife, Chrissy, no children, just us, a Doberman and a cat. And man, the Lord's taken us to over 22 countries, you know, being able to share this message of his love and grace. And, you know, really, as I mentioned, up until, you know, the last couple of years, most people would know me in circles that I, you know, go in as kind of this radical grace guy. In fact, I'm confused oftentimes, at least historically, for, you know, are you an emergent church leader? Are you, are you a progressive? Because I teach a radical love of God. But what I started seeing, even within some of the circles that I was running in, is people were kind of, you know, they were going from one ditch of legalism and they discovered this grace of God. And then next thing I knew, they ended up in this other ditch of sort of permissivism, this libertinism.
But don't you see this all the time? I've seen this basically. I mean, yeah. I didn't become born again until around 25. And I have to say that I noticed that people who were in the church for a long time, they grew up in the church, they would have all these horror stories about the puritanical, pharisaical, whatever.
Right.
And what it led them to do is to drift off into this kind of liberalism and into, you know, permissiveness. And I thought, hey, like, that's not good either. What's wrong with you? You're reacting. You're spending your whole life reacting to this fundamentalist background. That's not healthy either. So it seems like you've seen that as well.
Absolutely. And look, there are the church has problems, you know, and she is the bride of Christ. And I love the church. And I'm passionate about the church. But I understand many cases why people have drifted left because of, you know, some of the ways in which the church has reacted. And so those are things I address in this book, too. I really want to be fair to both sides. And this is not about Republican or Democrat. This is about returning, you know, as Christians, returning back to the Bible is really the central aspect to our faith. The person of Jesus is a central aspect to our faith, and refusing to believe anything that is not rooted in biblical orthodoxy. And, you know, I think it's a real danger. It's a concern. And, you know, I've seen a lot of pastors, even over the last year with, you know, the shutdowns of COVID and everything else, they've become very afraid of whether it's losing their 501c3 status or getting, you know, canceled. And I think that many people are just not speaking out anymore. And whether I'm, brave or stupid, I just felt a call that this was the time to get this word out.
Well, it's really important. Where can people find you online before we go to the break?
Yeah, so they can head over to lucasmiles.org. That's lucasmiles.org. I got everything on there, and you can get the book as well. The book's also on Amazon, as in, you know, everywhere books are sold.
lucasmiles.org. Folks, this is the Eric Metaxas Show. I also want to remind you, our main sponsor is MyPillow. If you go to MyPillow.com, use the code Eric. Oh, my goodness, the discounts you will get. If you go to my store, you can get most of my books there. Use the discount code Eric. We'll be right back with Lucas Miles. What a terrible thing to lose. Folks, I'm talking to Lucas Miles. The book is The Christian Left, How Liberal Thought Has Hijacked the Church. Lucas, there have been some figures, out there over the last couple of years. One name that comes to mind, Jen Hatmaker, whatever, people that have kind of come out in a way that it's been very confusing. What do you think is behind that? In other words, how do they not understand that I can be loving, but still hold a biblical orthodoxy?
You know, I have a whole chapter in this book that's called The Christian Cabal. And, you know, I compare this to really what happened during the Renaissance in Florence, Italy, with the Medici family. And the Medici family, you know, for the history buffs out there, it was a banking family. It was a religious family. They had really people at the highest levels of society. And in many cases, really controlled what was happening within the church and the state. And they found opportunity to partner with some of the best artists that were known, you know, all the top figures of the Renaissance, Raphael, Michelangelo, you know, Da Vinci earlier, you know, et cetera. And it's interesting. You look at a guy like Raphael and, you know, the church would hire him to do some, you know, beautiful, you know, Christian mosaic. And then he would also go do some, you know, kind of, you know, really bordering on pornographic type of artwork, you know, in the back corners of some guys, you know, some high figures bathroom or something like that to put in there. And, you know, these guys live some very interesting lifestyles and given to all sorts of, you know, many of them with probably the exception of Michelangelo, just sexual, you know, libertinism, et cetera. And I think that what we're seeing today is similar to that in that that there are power brokers, both in the state and in, you know, Christendom here in the United States, that have grabbed a hold of these artists, these talented people, these very gifted individuals who have never been truly discipled well, or they've gone astray in various areas. You know, you mentioned somebody like Jen Hatmaker. There's others I talk about, and even more established figures. You know, I think we have, you know, somebody like, you know, somebody who is sort of flirted with a lot of leftist ideas, like Beth Moore, who has pretty solid biblical teaching in most cases. But has been very sympathetic towards, you know, a lot of progressivism and even, you know, specific progressives that she's teamed up with and worked with in various capacities. And then you have some more, you know, figures that are going a little bit more towards critical race theory, like Phil Vischer. And, you know, both these are great people, you know, and
I cannot. You know, like, Phil's been a friend for years. But I mean, in all seriousness, can you explain how you can get from, you know, solid Christian faith, understanding all that, to drifting into critical race theory? What am I missing? Because I always want to give my friends a benefit of the doubt.
Absolutely.
Really, of course I do, you know?
And that's what makes this hard, is because this is not about, it's not about character. It's not about, you know, who they are as a person. It's about the fundamentals of Christianity that we have to really come to agreement on. And so when we talk about progressive thought, this isn't, again, it's not a Democrat-Republican issue. Progressive ideology, specifically in the faith world, came out of the Enlightenment and the post-Enlightenment period with thinkers like Voltaire, Kant, and Hegel and others. And they really developed this idea of biblical criticism. It's basically a way of looking at scripture to decide based upon human reasoning, which was really the God of the Enlightenment, what scriptures stand out as true and which scriptures might not be true, might be have some sort of myth in them. And so what they were after was a pursuit of what is known in theological circles as the historic Jesus. Now, that sounds good on the surface, but from a progressive viewpoint, the historic Jesus was a picture of Jesus once you cut away all the aspects of scripture that they thought were wrong, the miraculous, the virgin birth, the, you know, the resurrection from the dead, all of these things. And what they end up with is a Jesus who's a great teacher, who's a great rabbi, who's, you know, sort of this social reformer.
I mean, I get that, you know, standard liberal theological liberalism,
yes.
But I wouldn't expect somebody like a Phil Vischer or a Beth Moore to get anywhere near that. That's what I don't get confused. That's what I get
confused. I think that
by
the apathy of the evangelical church has created a reactionary theology to those that, you know, really have a passion and love for this world, like Beth and Phil. And they become so frustrated with the apathy that they see in you know, the Protestant church or the evangelical church, that it causes them to go through what I call doctrinal drift, this sort of this spiritual extrapolation that, you know, they hear one thing, well, I like that, and I'm going to dig a little deeper, and I like this, I'm going to dig a little, and you next thing, it's like going out in the ocean and hanging out there when you're a kid, and then, you know, your mom and dad are out on the towel in front of you, and 30 minutes later, you look up and you're 200 yards down, you know, downstream. Nobody sets out to go, I want to abandon this.
I said in the beginning that there ought to be these tripwires, right? When somebody talks about critical race theory, whatever, the flag goes up Marxism.
100%.
That this is not biblical and it's very deceptive. But I mean, are you saying that Phil has gone in that direction? I haven't followed, you know, where he is.
And look, I don't want to speak to what's in somebody's heart, but I think that these are topics that these individuals are not just exploring, but starting to, you know, support in various ways. And look, there's a thin line between, saying let's help the poor and the immigrant and something like critical race theory, right? And so sometimes those just, you don't know when you left, you know, it's like living in this suburban area. You don't know where you left one city and entered the other sometimes. There's not a hard state line. And I think that sometimes, you know, people have gotten to this without really realizing it. And look, Christian socialism has been on the rise since really the early 1900s in this country. And there's been attempts at really, you know, seeing this come about. And I think that on the surface, The basic difference between Christian socialism, which I think some people are venturing into, and biblical Christianity, Christian socialism, and you know, whether that be liberation theory or Black liberation theory, the focus is on that the mission of the gospel is to help the less fortunate. Whereas in biblical Christianity, the focus on the gospel is to elevate the person of Jesus Christ. And so on the surface, that's a big difference. Right. But I think as you start hearing it, there's a lot of subtleties that people get tripped up on.
Right. Folks, I'm talking to Lucas Miles. You can find him at lucasmiles.org because he's a pastor. And we are going to be right back. Stick around.
It may be raining, but there's a rainbow above you. You better let somebody love you.
Folks, this is the Eric Metaxas Show. I'm talking to Lucas Miles. Lucas, I think part of what happens, right? We were talking about folks like Phil Vischer, whatever. Now, I love Phil. He's been a friend for so many years. But when people kind of drift, I think what the real issue is they confuse folks that have followed. I mean, you were mentioning Beth Moore. I don't have the time to follow Beth Moore or what Phil's doing or writing. But I think maybe they ally themselves with people. And that is confusing, right? Yeah. I mean, I'm always trying to reach out to the secular world, but it doesn't mean that I don't care about theological orthodoxy. I think I see that as evangelism. I see that as loving my neighbor. But in this case, it seems like some of these Christian figures are blurring some lines. Is that what's happening?
Yeah, I address this in my book, The Christian Left, and that is, you know, specifically with some of these individuals. I've been going to Hollywood for, 7-8 years, as often as I can. I run around with actors, discipling people, and I'm sure you could find me hanging out with somebody that somebody would go, hey, what's Lucas doing hanging out with that guy, right? And I think that as believers, and we see this in Jesus's life, he hung out with prostitutes and tax collectors and, people that society viewed as sort of, kind of the wrong side of the tracks. And that's not what we're talking about here. I am for any Christian, especially any pastor. I want their reach and their circle to be as wide as possible. I want them to go to some of the, most unsavory places that they can to reach people for the sake of the gospel. But when we talk about aligning ourselves or promoting somebody's ideology or saying that you need to listen to this guy or you need to buy this guy's book or I'm doing a conference with this person, that's where we start getting into trouble. And so, because what we're seeing is, we're seeing really a lack of accountability. If the church were to function the way it was, intended, we would all be accountable to each other. If somebody got offended at one church, that pastor at the new church they go to would hear about the conversation, both from the pastor they were attending and from the person themselves. But, Christian accountability, especially in this country, is almost completely absent. And even more so with some of our influencers who have really just kind of become their own entities, become their own nonprofits or their own organizations. And I think that, the lack of discipleship there, the lack of accountability is frightening. And I think over time you have this doctrinal drift that people have gone there and they've begun, really espousing and oftentimes promoting some of these contrary viewpoints.
Well, I mean, I know Lecrae, for example, supported Warnock in Atlanta or somebody else who was a pro-abortion candidate. And I just thought, I don't get that. Like, here's Lecrae's my brother in Christ. I've met him a few times. And of course, we're going to disagree on maybe politics or something. But that's weird to me that somebody who is known as clearly as a Christian would support someone who's a pro-abortion candidate. That seems to me a bridge too far.
That's one of those markers you talked about earlier is something like, abortion issues, And so the moment we get into, promoting abortion, that would seem to anybody that really has a good handle on scripture to be, hey, we've started to venture out in some waters that we don't want to be in. Let's go back. I think, look, I understand if not everybody liked Donald Trump. I understand if not everybody likes everything. This isn't about politics. It's about these markers as Christians that draw us back to scripture as the center. But the moment you stop believing that there was a Pew Forum, study, maybe you saw this, Eric, with, only 24% of the church, of church-going people, believes that the Bible is the inerrant, authoritative word of God. That means that 76% of the church today, of those who are attending, believe the Bible is something less than this authoritative, inerrant work of God. And so it's easy when you hear those numbers to realize that that's why we have a lot of people who are straying. And of course, the media is all about this. I mean, and I call this Herodian politics. The left wants, you know, Herod loved listening to John the Baptist preach until John the Baptist said something he didn't like, and then he put his head on a platter. The state will use the church as often as they can, as long as the church gets in line with the state. The left does not want the separation of church and state. They want a church subservient to the state. And that's important to realize, is that the Christian left is really in bed with the state, and many times not even realize that they're being used in order to, you know, promote these progressive ideas.
Unbelievable. We just got a few minutes left. Lucas, you were talking about having a media company. What do you do? In other words, you're pastoring a church. You do a podcast. And what do you do with media?
Yeah, so I own a media company called Miles Media. We do everything from, you know, commercial video, national commercial video, to feature films. We've done films for Netflix, Redbox, Walmart, Sony, Showtime. Write as often as I can. That's probably a passion of mine. I host a couple podcast shows, The Church Boys, with I think your friend Billy Hollowell and Chris Field over at The Blaze. And so we host that together once a week. And then I'm also the host of the Lucas Miles Show, where I interview celebrities about their faith. I've had everybody from Mario Lopez, Kathy Lee Gifford, Jim Caviezel, and others, Stephen Baldwin on the program. So, every day is a little different in my world, but the church is sort of home base, and they really empower me to be able to be a light in the world through some of these other endeavors.
Well, you're all over the place in a good way. I think that the book you've written, The Christian Left, this is really important. We need voices like yours to help people understand that we do have to be really careful about drift. And I see this, that we want to have compassion. Listen, it's one thing to love someone, and it's another thing to explicitly affirm something that is wrong. So I have gay friends. But people need to know that I would never affirm that. If somebody asked my opinion, and you know, you can have a friend and your friends, and part of the friendship is that we don't talk about that.
Yeah.
But if we're going to talk about that, I have to say, well, look, this is what the scripture teaches. And I have to believe if the scripture teaches this, I have to believe that's God's love. That's not wanting to hurt people or harm people. And I really think that there are people looking to folks like us for clarity, because there are young people, for example, today. If you're 15 years old and you have flickers of same-sex attraction, you need somebody to say to you, hey, that's not God's plan for you. Don't go in that direction. That will hurt you. God loves you, and God does love you as you are, but it doesn't mean God wants to affirm you in your brokenness. Absolutely. He wants to heal those brokennesses. It's so important we say that if you love people, to speak that truth in a compassionate way. And I think a lot of people they've shrunk from doing that, and they've confused love, just as you said. They don't really understand it. We've just got 30 seconds left. What are you working on in the next couple of months?
So certainly this book promotion is a major part of it. We've got a couple films in development that we're teetering with here, and already starting to dream up what this next book could look like. But want to give this one good time to breathe and be a good partner for our publisher here in this process with Broad Street. But this book, The Christian Left, is definitely the focus here. And you'll enjoy. I quoted some of your work on Bonhoeffer in it, so you have to check it out.
Holy cow. All right. Well, listen, Lucas Miles, wonderful to see you again. Folks, go to lucasmiles.org. The book is The Christian Left.
Are you ready for your homework assignment? Albin, Chris, you understand.
Yes.
This weekend, we've got a heavy homework assignment for all listeners. And I'm sorry, but that's the way it is. You want to do better in this class, you got to do the homework. All right. So number one, how can you can't even do number one unless you do the other thing. So I'm going to make this number one.
What is it?
Everywhere I go, I say to people, you signed up for the newsletter. No, what's the newsletter? Folks, please, I'm just telling you, we've had amazing guests, and you're not going to find them on Rumble. You're probably not on Rumble. We need to send you the newsletter, and it's all teed up. So there's Milo. There is
Alan Dershowitz.
There's Dershowitz. There's all the stuff that we cannot put on YouTube, or we couldn't put it on YouTube. Trust me, go to ericmetaxas.com. This is a homework assignment. So you want to get a good grade, you just got to do this. What can I tell you? Homework counts. You go to ericmetaxas.com, sign up for the newsletter. If you have trouble, just send us an email where it says contact and we will put you in. But it's the only way for us to share the show and the videos in a way that's going to make it easy for you. And I hate people missing stuff because we have some amazing guests. We got some amazing guests coming up. So go to ericmetaxas.com and sign up for the newsletter. That's number one. Number two, please share our videos on social media or with your friends. We really do feel that that's the best way to get them out. So that's important. Number three, Nutramedics.com. Go to Nutramedics.com. Use the code ERIC. Whatever you're already taking, you should be taking vitamin D every day, zinc, magnesium, and a few other things. You might as well get it from Nutramedics.com. Why? Because they give 50% of their profits to missions and wonderful charities. That's amazing. They want to give $100 million away by the end of the decade. It's an amazing organization. We'll tell you more about that. Also, don't forget to go to mystore.com. Most of my books are at mystore.com. If you use the code ERIC, the prices are actually, this is true. The Muggsy books, yeah. Anybody who gets them is always shocked because they're huge. They're beautiful. They're like coffee table children's books. They're almost sold out. We priced them so low, this is true, that they're almost sold out. If you use the code ERIC, you can still get them. But I promise you, they told me that we're almost out. So if you want them, go to mystore.com. And, you know, we should also mention salemnow.com. We won't be mentioning it as often in the future. But right now, for people to get acquainted with it, go to salemnow.com. America is on there. We talked to Nick Searcy. We haven't played that yet, have we?
No, we did on Wednesday. Wednesday we had Nick on.
All right, well, then you know. But there's a lot of great stuff. You're looking for something that's educational, edifying, entertaining, salemnow.com. Use the code ERIC. I'm not sure what the discount is, but they said that there's a discount.
Right.
Two more homework assignments, and then you're done. Ready?
Yeah.
Okay, you got to go to stream.org or com?
Org. Stream.org.
Yep.
Stream.org.
Find John Zmirak's writings. Print them out. Share them. Okay? That's a homework assignment.
Great.
John writes one every day, so you're just going to have a tab or something like that. But his stuff is so true. The one he wrote last night about Bruce Jenner.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Folks, you don't know what you're missing. This is genius stuff. Cancel your newspapers and read this stuff.
Eric, you forgot about shopmetaxas.com.
No, I didn't. That was next.
Oh, okay.
For reminding me. It's your job, man. You're doing it. Shopmetaxas. I don't know if people even know it's there. So I thought we probably should mention it a little bit more. But shopmetaxas, t-shirts, hats, mugs, tumblers.
Hey, don't forget.
And don't forget children's books by Albin and Eric.
Hamster Homes.
And they're signed. So, but you have to go to
shopmetaxas.com.
Shopmetaxas.com. It's at our radio website, metaxastalk.com. But the prices on the t-shirts and the hats and the mugs are very low. So just in case you're looking for something fun, I think we're out of time. Those are the homework assignments. Please don't forget, it's going to be in your final grade. Thank you.